Ladies and gentlemen, good morning. Welcome to the Tembra Money Bank Half Year Results 2014 Investors Conference Call. I'm Joya, the Chorus Call operator. The conference must not be recorded for publication or broadcast. At this time, it's my pleasure to hand over to Mr. Robert Oudmayer, CEO, and Mr. Antoine Pouplil, CFO of Tembra Money Bank. Please go ahead, gentlemen.
Yes, hello everyone, good morning. My name is Robert Oudmayer. I'm the CEO of Tembra Money Bank. I'm here with Antoine Pouplil, our CFO, and also Volker Globe, our Chief Risk Officer, is on the call for any questions later on, eventually. We have a presentation that you have on screen. We'd like to go through it. First of all, I would like to say that we are quite satisfied with our half-year results on our new brand, Tembra Money Bank. We want to run you through the results and then, of course, open it up for questions. Let me start with the page 3, just to give you some highlights from the first half of 2014. A few words on environment. As you know, interest rate remained very low, and I don't think we see any movement for at the moment, so we expect them to stay low for the remainder of the year. Swiss economy was in line with expectations and grew about 2% in the first half of 2014, where the consumer market was slightly down. There are no numbers known for the consumer market, but we know that the market was a bit down. We also know that the car market was down 4%, so the registration of new cars year over year in the first 6 months was down about 4%. So with that, I think we are quite satisfied about our financials. We reported a net income of 64.7 million Swiss francs compared to 61.6 million excluding the gain from debt sale in the first half of 2013, which is 5% up year over year. In those 64.7 million, we have taken a FINMA-related provision of 3 million pre-tax. So even with that, we are still up versus last year. All product lines report growth. So that's another thing that we are quite satisfied with. And our net financial receivables went up 3%. So we're gaining market share basically in every of the single product lines. The costs are pretty much under control. We have a cost-income ratio of 44.5, and if we adjust that for the FINMA-related provision, it would have been 42.8%, so even better than last year. And the return on average equity was 16.4%, with a strong capital base. Operationally, we made quite some progress on the funding side, and Antoine is going to talk more in detail about funding afterwards, but we achieved 87% standalone funding, and we had a 14% deposit growth since year end 2013. So, and also the funding plan is pretty much on track. You also know that we have a big project, which is the IT transition and the separation from GE. The scope and approach has been completed, and we are pretty much on schedule to be executed by year 2015. I have a slide on that later on to give you some more detail. Also, the loss performance was favorable. Delinquencies 30 plus are at 2%, and the non-performing loan ratio is 0.5%. So the loss ratio is with 1% completely as guided. We have a slide later on capital allocation, but the liquidity position is strong with almost 400 million cash and a solid Tier 1 ratio of 19.8% as of June 2014. Excess capital, 67 million, and we are above the 80% minimum Tier 1 target. So overall, satisfactory results in our view for the first half of 2014. We move to the next page, page 4. Do you want to give you a little bit more detail on the product lines. Starting with personal loans, we rebranded our business completely to Tembra Money Bank, and I think it was it went very well. We are completely embedded in the market as Tembra, and it was supporting our new business because the personal loan market went down. We don't have the exact number here, but it went down in the first half of 2014. We had a pretty stable origination. Branches did well. Online did very well, so we saw an increase in the online leads and applications in the first half, and also the agent business performed well. So overall, I think we're pretty well on track. I think the whole rebranding was pretty much linked to the personal loan business because, as you know, the name, the new name or the old name is very important for personal loan business, so that was probably a challenge. We did quite well, in my view, on rebranding and originations, and assets are pretty much in line with what we expected there. If you look at the auto market, new car registration, they went down 4% year-over-year, so there's been a decrease in the car registration. If you look at 13 to 14, it's a declining market. We did very well in the auto market. We won about 2 points of market share. So we, I know if you recall the 11% market share, we now run 13%. A few things happened. I think one was the rebranding was positively. I think dealers see us as a really local Swiss bank, which is good. I think also we opened last year in the French part of Switzerland and the Italian-speaking part of Switzerland two new operating centers. We're seeing the effect right now. So we started to do that in January 13. You have to staff those places. You have to train those people. And I think, you know, being more regionalized is also giving some support here. So overall, I think service levels are really good and are supporting our growth here. A very good story on credit cards. We continued very strong organic growth. Number of credit cards at 5% to 581,000, which is 10% year over year. Very strong Migros Cumulus card performance. Cumulus card was rated best value standard credit card in the market. It is a very good card, and the growth continues on the Migros side. We expect the second half of the year to be stronger due to seasonality. That's a normal pattern in the credit card market. And now, on the sales side, we also worked quite hard on the operational side. So we had SMS service live, and we're planning a new e-service program, which is much better than the current one, to be live in the second half of 2014. So we're also working very hard on the digitization agenda. So overall, in the product lines, quite happy and pretty much on track. A little bit more detail on the general business that you find on the next page. I just want to spend a few words on the agent case, because I know that people are looking for some news. First of all, I know I'm reverting to the press release we did on the 16th of July and the 21st of July, where we said that we're not going to comment a lot more, but just to summarize a bit the case there. We terminated the cooperation with the agent in case in 2011, and basically there are three things going on. One, there was a civil litigation where the agent started a civil case against us. We think that this litigation case lacks proper legal basis, and we don't think the chance of success is quite limited. We don't know when this civil litigation case is going to be terminated. It might run into next year, but you know, we don't know that. But the chance of success, in our view, is pretty limited. Then you also know that we received the FINMA report. We are now giving comments and our answers. We think we can send those answers back in the coming weeks to FINMA, and then FINMA is supposed to conclude in the fourth quarter of 2014. We expect the fourth quarter of 2014. I mean, there is no confirmation that FINMA will do that, but I think that's a general expectation. At the same time, we booked a provision of $3 million pre-tax, recorded in the first half of 2014. On basis of the information we have, that is a very appropriate and accurate provision. That's also to the knowledge we have. Then there's also some news from the state prosecutor. He initiated some preliminary examinations, so it's not a formal investigation. There are some preliminary examinations. Normally, if that turns into an investigation, that will go to individuals of the bank and not to the bank to itself. That is normal practice in Switzerland. So I hope I give you some more insight on the agent case here. Also want to have a few words on rebranding. The recarding is also pretty much on track. I think we're done with all the rebranding. All the websites, branches, has the new signs. We had a very strong launch campaign. We're measuring the effect of the rebranding. More than one-third of the Swiss population is aware that GE Money Bank has been rebranded. I think that is good news. We also measure top of mind. We are very close to number one, which is, I think, very good news, because normally this takes a long time. We have already passed some of our competitors, and we are now number two in the market on top of mind, and we are increasing very, very quickly. We also were happy that our family visual advertising was recognized as the best consumer finance market advertising. So I think on the rebranding, it went very well, and we're very much on track. A few words on the business transition. As you know, we are renewing the majority of our IT landscape in a two-year time period. We have in total 59 items to close with GE to become completely, you know, independent. We've already completed 23. Another 23 to be completed by the end of 2014, and another 13 items left for 2015. We are on plan, on track. It's a big work for the company, but I think, you know, we have a very strong execution mode, and the whole IT transformation is on plan. And I think, you know, the result will be, hopefully, when we have done this business transition, that we have really simplified our world outside GE. So with that, I'm closing the general business update and handing over to Carlos Cohn to talk about the balance sheet.
Good morning, everyone. So I'll start with our balance sheet as of June 14 compared to our year-end. If we start with cash, we're almost 100 million lower, driven by seasonality and the growth in our financing receivables. We grew our financing receivable by 3% with a solid contribution from cards, which was up 11%, but also in auto up 2% and P-loan up 1%. In auto and P-loan were clearly outperforming the market as it was slightly down in the first half. On funding, we've seen continuous growth in our deposits. We're up 14%. With institutional deposits up almost 200 million and retail up 40 million. We are now funded more than 50%, you know, by deposits in the bank. On the bank loan, we renegotiated our historical 200 million facilities with a syndicate of Swiss banks, and I will provide more detail on the next page. And finally, we fully repaid the G revolving facilities, and we now have only the 500 million term loan remaining in place. On equity, we ended June at 780 million, which was basically impacted by the 85.5 million dividend we've done in May, and also incorporating a 64.7 million net income for the first half of the year. If we move to the next page on funding, so we've now reached 87% of standalone funding, and our cost of fund was significantly reduced versus the previous year and was 1.1%. At the end of June. On retail deposits, we're off to a good start, I would say, as we increase our balance 41 million, and we intend to continue growing that balance over time. On institutional, we signed up new counterparties and have been able to grow the balance roughly 200 million since year end. On bank loan, this is where we had, you know, a change. So we renegotiated our 200 million facility, which is due this year, and we structured it a bit differently this time. So we split it in basically a three-year term loan of 150 million, which is split in several tranches, and a revolving facility for about 100 million that we intend to use as a credit line from December 14 onwards. So as of June, you know, if you look at the blended cost of the old tranches and some of the new ones, we're about 1.47% all in. We expect this rate to come down, you know, by year end, as we you know, transition the old tranches into the new one with a different funding cost. And the credit facilities will also be in place by then, and that's where you'll see undrawn credit line moving from 500 million to 600 million by year end. Finally, we repaid completely the GE revolving loan, leaving us with the full 500 million as undrawn credit line, and also, you know, the term loan of GE of 500 million. If we apply the cost to reduce balance, and that's basically the rate is coming at 1.82%, which is in line with the guidance we've given at the IPO time. Moving on to the P&L, on the next page, our net interest income was up 7%, driven by better cost of funding. Our commission and fee income was up 9%, driven by insurance, which was up 6%. We've seen some stabilization and a slightly higher profit share this year. You know, cards was up 24%, and other was down 1.7 million as a consequence of a revolving loan product that we had that's been in runoff, you know, since last year. Overall, our revenue were up 8% year over year. Our provision for losses were 21 million, which corresponds to a loss rate of about 1%, which is in line with the guidance we provided, you know, earlier. Basically, it's driven by lower recoveries that we're receiving following the debt sale we've done in June of last year. This is the only item, actually, the debt sale of last year that we've normalized in our 13 first half number that you can see at the bottom of this page here. Our OPEX was up 3.3 million year over year, mostly driven by the FINMA related provision. Operationally, we're essentially flat, with CNB lower, driven by pension and productivity, which were offsetting, some additional costs coming from our IT transition. But I will go into more detail on the operating expense page. So overall, our net income on a reported basis was 64.7, which is up 5% compared to last year net income, adjusted for the 33 million pre-tax gain we had on the gain of the sale of the loss certificate. Overall, due to seasonality, we expect the net income for the second half to exceed the first half net income here on a reported basis. If I move to the next page, I will provide some comments on the interest income by product. On the right side, you can see the split. So personal loan was down 3% at about 106 million, driven by slightly lower asset base on average and origination mix, but we're still holding price here in that product line. Auto was down 8% with a yield of 5.2%. We've seen the trend continuing in terms of, higher yielding vintage being replaced by lower ones considering the low rate environment. But we do see some sign of stabilization from a pricing standpoint on the new vintage recently. On credit card, we're up 23% at 18.7 million. That was driven by the growth of the portfolio, and the yield was increased, due to our change in mix as well. On the next page, our provision for losses was 21 million, which is a loss rate of 1% annualized. If we look at it on an adjusted basis, the loss rate was about 0.6%, which is actually better than the previous year. The impact of lower recoveries in the first half of this year coming from last year's debt sale was estimated at 8.9 million, sequentially down from the 12 million we had in the second half of last year. As guided previously, the debt sale executed in 2013 will continue to impact recovery flow going forward. Operationally, our delinquency continued to have good, strong performance driven by collection effectiveness. We were basically down versus last year at 2% on our 30+, sequentially up, but that's mostly driven by seasonality as the first half delinquencies are always higher than the end of the year delinquency. And that's the case in a pretty consistent way across our product line. Our non-performing loan ratio was flat at 0.5%. Moving on to operating expense, our compensation benefit was 47.9 million, which is 3.4 million lower than the previous year, but it's 1.1 million down sequentially. The second half of last year, we had CNB at 49 million. One of the drivers was lower pension costs. We had a strong performance on our pension assets within the pension plan in 2013, which resulted in about 1.5 million lower pension costs in the first half. We expect a similar impact in the second half coming from pension. Also, we started to work on our structure last year, and productivity has enabled us to absorb the growth of the business while inflation remained pretty low. Our TSA costs were 3.4 million in the first half, and we're still expecting 6 million for the full year, as we've communicated before. Professional services was up 4 million, mostly driven by IT project implementation costs for about a couple of million, and also the cost of in relation of being listed as a company standalone. Marketing was lower than last year due to the strong rebranding exercise we've done at the end of last year. A portion of that spend also went into postage and stationery as we increased mailing campaigns as opposed to above-the-line marketing. On other, the increase was driven by the FINMA-related provision for 3 million and also some IT transition costs for about a million. Overall, our cost-income ratio, if you adjust it for the FINMA provision, was 42.8%, which is 3 points down compared to the previous year. So we will continue to review our cost structure and assess opportunities for optimization as we complete our business transition to a standalone company. Moving on to capital on the next page, we ended June with 732 million of Tier 1 capital, which corresponds to a Tier 1 ratio of 19.8%. And that represents 67 million of excess capital above our defined target of 18%. As we mentioned before, we see several potential use of that excess capital. Bolt-on acquisition, we're actively seeking potential portfolio to add to our business. There's nothing to report at this stage, but we hope that change in the banking landscape in Switzerland might provide opportunities. In case those opportunities don't materialize at attractive terms, we could increase return to shareholders in the form of extra dividends or share buybacks. We'll keep assessing those options in the future.
So if you look at the last page, outlook guidance, basically page that we have every time in our presentation, just to compare us with the guidance we've been giving you. So net consumer growth, we said, should be in moderate and aligned with Swiss GDP. We had a 3% growth in the first half. Profitability, we set ourselves a target of at least 15%. We reported 16.4. Our Tier 1, 18% target, 19.8. And we maintain our target payout ratio between 60 and 70% of consolidated net profit. So looking for the second half of 14, and I think Antoine also gave you some insight there, we keep on working on our cost structure. We hope that we can close the FINMA to have the FINMA final position on the agent case in Q4 2014, and the business transition is pretty much on track. So we confirm our full year 2014 guidance. With that, I would like to open it up for questions.
The first question comes from Tariq El-Majad from Merrill Lynch. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, everyone. Thank you very much for the call. I have just a couple of questions, please. First one is on the lending growth. I mean, we saw some revival in the first half, mainly, as you highlighted, driven by, again, market share. I just want to understand the trend in here. I mean, is that something, are you going aggressively against market share and then giving up a little bit in terms of margins? Otherwise, what are the other competitors exiting and why? Because at the time of IPO, I mean, most of these segments were very competitive. Competition was very aggressive. So I just understand why others are pulling back. And second question is on litigation. Your case. I mean, just something really I can't grasp is that if you continue to say that there is no ground for this agent about his complaint and so on, something like that. But it looks like FINMA, the Zurich prosecutor, all giving him or at least seeing some ground in there to open a pre-investigation, and FINMA to ask for a report and you booking 3 million. So it's not completely nothing. And I just want to understand and to have more ground. I mean, first of all, why you booked 3 million? This 3 is based on what? And why you think there is no case there? Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you, Derek. I'll try to answer first the market question. I think we should look market by market. Personal loans has been aggressive as always, and I think we have maintained. I think we have been pretty well on the mobile side, so the online side has been growing. We think that the second half will be challenging as always. I don't think a lot of change in that market. I think we're holding assets. We increased even a little bit of assets, but it hasn't been different than other years. I think auto is probably a bit different than personal loans. And auto, I think we got very good feedback from the market that we now really a Swiss bank, you know, because we're working with local dealers and they see us really Swiss. I think also opening the regional offices in the French-speaking part and the Italian-speaking part has had a positive effect on the volume. So we clearly outperformed the market. If you look at the margins on auto, for example, the market is more driven by portfolio than it's driven by new business. So we have a 3-year average term on auto, and we knew that the yield would go a little bit down. I think we're stabilizing on the yield. We're not playing on price. I think on auto you also see that competition, especially the captives, are a little bit less aggressive than they were last year. So that also helps. So I can't tell you what they're going to do in the second half, but I know you always have Geneva in March, and the pricing in Geneva has been a bit less aggressive than in the 1 or 2 years before. Personal loans, we're also not giving away price. We haven't done any price campaign. We're not intending to do price campaigns in the second half of the year. On credit cards, it's just continuous growth of the micro portfolio. So we've been pretty good there. So I hope that answers your question more or less. We don't know what's going to happen in the second half. I think credit cards, we are very confident we will continue the growth, and there will be pressure on personal loans and autos like there has been pressure, I think, over the last 3 or 4 years. moving to the FINMA case, I think you should separate the cases. So we clearly said in our offering memorandum already that, you know, there might have been some transformation of confidential data to an agent that was not completely correct. So I think, and that's what the FINMA case is built on, which is something different than the civil litigation that the former agent has started to us. I think for the civil litigation, we don't think there's any merit. We think that the chance of success for the civil litigation is very limited for the agent. Civil litigation, we're now in duplicate and replicate phase, can go on for another while. But we don't, I mean, you know that he claimed $14 million for us. We don't think there is a chance of success is high. It's, of course, very limited. On the transfer of information, the FINMA has started an investigation. They also released a report there. We have now the time to answer on that report. And we booked a provision of $3 million. Anton, maybe you want to say a few words why we booked $3 million here.
No, I think, you know, again, this is a provision. So a provision is, you know, is what we've recorded. You know, we have not recorded a definite loss here. So I think, you know, we're trying to be prudent and adequate in terms of what we've provided, and also trying to basically communicate openly on our financials around this. So, but, you know, again, this case is not finalized yet.
And on the FINMA report, you know, we are providing answers now to FINMA, and we hope that we get the final position in the fourth quarter of 2014. Then the state prosecutor, they can decide to start a formal investigation. He hasn't done that so far, but he can decide to do this. That normally goes to individuals. So I think you should separate those three layers in the case from each other. And I agree with you, it's not nothing. So I think we take it very seriously. But we also, you know, try to be open in communication as much as we can.
Okay. I mean, thank you very much for this detailed answer. But just to understand, so on the prosecutor, as you mentioned, usually in Switzerland it's directed to individuals and not to corporates. But it's not by law. That's just what usually has been done, right? I mean, and what's your feeling so far? Is that it's more directed towards an employee who has perhaps faltered? Or, I mean, are you confident about that? Or is it just because historically it has been like that?
Look, I cannot really comment on this one. I can only look what is the usual practice in Switzerland in the past. We have not seen any of those things going to the company. Normally, that's normally the case. It goes to individuals. I don't think I can comment further on this one at this stage.
Okay. Okay, perfect. Thank you very much.
Okay, Tarek.
The next question comes from Flora Benacoun from Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning. Thank you. I've got a few questions. The first one is on the cost base, because obviously the outperformance this half year was largely driven by the cost. You mentioned on the slide and in your presentation that the cost income, if we adjust for the FINMA provision you just made, would have been just below 43% this half year, which is much better than what you achieved in the past. So my first question would be, what kind of cost income can we expect in the future? Should it be closer to the 43% you just achieved, or you expect it to go back towards the 45, 46% we used to see before? The second question is on the pricing in the auto loan business. You mentioned in the presentation you're starting to see some stabilization there, which indeed we can see on the slide. So whether you could elaborate a little bit on this, why it is, and whether you think this is something that will continue. And then I have three very quick clarifications. The first is that on the slide 12, where you show, you know, the interest income by product line, in the personal loan part, you have this other impact, which was also the case in the previous presentations that you did. So whether you could just argue a little bit where this is coming from, because this is quite a big impact in the end. That was the slide 9. Then on the funding cost coming from the ABS, they were a bit higher this half year than previously, when normally the rates should not have moved. So it's another question I had. And the last one was on the capital usage, you know, that you mentioned in the slide 12, whether there is any order preference for example, first opportunistic acquisitions, and if there isn't any, you would consider first a buyback or raise a special dividend. Basically, what kind of order you have in mind for the capital usage? Thank you.
Okay, Flora, that's a lot of questions. Maybe you go one by one. So your first question, maybe you can repeat one by one the question.
No, but I think that's fine. I try to get them, and
okay.
Flora, tell me if there's one missing. So I think on the cost-income ratio, so I adjusted, we're at 42.8. I mean, the full year last year, if you were adjusting, it was about 44. I think this year we see it around 43, you know, for the full year. And I say around because you know, the first half there were some unusuals, and you know, FINMA was clearly one. I think what's going to continue on the run rate is pension. You know, the pension impact is impacting the full year, so what you've seen or what we've said on the first half is going to repeat in the second half. So in the context of about 1.5 in the first half and about 3 million for the full year, and that's the reversing of the trend. You know, we've had pension costs increasing from 11 to 12. You know, I think now it's going in the other way due to the, you know, good performance of the pension assets. So, but for this year, I think I'd say we see it around 43, and we'll see afterwards. Your second question on pricing on auto. So we do see some stabilization on the new vintage, and it's mostly coming from, you know, what we're seeing in the first half of this year. You know, if we look at the last couple of years, competition has been very aggressive on price. I think it seems that it's, you know, stabilizing a little bit. You know, I mean, one have to remember that the margin that, you know, if people were offering very low price, they were making no margin on it, and so probably try to at least earn a little bit of money now. Now, on the trend, you're still going to have a portfolio that's going to turn in 3 years. So, you know, even though the new vintage, you know, are stabilizing, you're still going to have the portfolio effect impacting it. So the 5.2 will continue to trend a little bit lower, but I think, you know, at least we see some stabilization. On your next question was still on interest income on P loan for other. I mean, what typically we have in other is amortization of origination cost. And so basically, you know, if you look at our distribution mix between branches, agent, and online, I mean, over the last few years, you know, the agent distribution channel has increased a little bit. And that's also what you see here as an impact, which comes with a lag effect because those costs are capitalized and then amortized over the life of the loan. So this 1.8 is really mix, is really origination mix, but it will also stabilize, you know, at some point. On your next question for ABS, I think the cost of ABS from a percentage perspective, you know, hasn't changed, but for in terms of overall interest expense, it did because our second ABS was done in June 13. So this year you have or for this first half results, you have the full 6 months impact of it, when last time we only had actually pretty much no impact because it was executed in June. Then your next question, I think, was around, or your last question was around capital allocation. So on capital allocation, I mean, the options are listed here, you know, either bolt-on acquisition or return to shareholders. I think on the acquisition front, you know, we're still looking, you know, what could be available and accretive for us. You know, and if we don't find anything attractive in terms of return, you know, you can see the other options there. But, you know, those options, you know, would be discussed, you know, with the board. In terms of exactly what we're going to execute on there. But, you know, we do have the optionality with the excess capital, you know, being there.
But, I mean, you should also consider that we are a very young listed company. So, you know, I think we should take also a little bit of time to look at if we can find, you know, accretive acquisition. So, but, I mean, the options are there, and it's the board ultimately is going to decide.
Does that answer all your questions?
Yeah, thank you. That's very clear. Maybe just a quick follow-up on the acquisitions. So what you would consider here is mostly SME books in Switzerland, right?
Well, not only SME books. I mean, if we can, we always said that we would like to do an acquisition in consumer finance or an area which is linked to consumer finance. So SME would be an opportunity, but also if there would be anything available in auto, cards, or personal loans, we would also be interested. Fact is that it is a small market, and we haven't seen a lot of deals in the last, you know, 2 years. So I think we're looking to consumer finance or products that are close to consumer finance, what includes SME.
And there wouldn't be an antitrust issue here on P-loans, for example?
Well, I mean, let's first see if we can find something and then have a look at it. I don't think so. No, we don't think so because we're not looking at massive portfolios. We're looking at smaller portfolios. And I think, you know, we're far away with a small portfolio from an from a potential antitrust issue.
Thank you. Very clear.
The next question comes from Thomas Gerlach from MainFirst. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning. I have only one question, as most of my questions have already been answered. This is a very small question regarding IT transition costs. We've seen the increase quite substantially, the other operating expenses. And my question is, how much left is there to be done with respect to IT transition process? And what would be the incremental costs here? Thank you.
Well, I can answer the timeline and then Anton can answer the cost side. I think we're really, really well on track to the timeline. So the original timeline was to finalize the whole IT transition October next year. I think we're completely on that timeline, which is, I think, a big effort and a big success for the team so far. So execution phase is very well. We don't see any major issues in the – I mean, there's a lot of work to be done, but no major issues in the IT transformation. Maybe, Antoine, you want to say a few words on the cost side.
Yeah, I think on the, on the cost side, I mean, here you can see it in a couple of places. You see it in professional services, and you see it a little bit in other – and professional services mostly around the project implementation. But over time, where you're also going to see it is through depreciation. So they're going to be, you know, right now it's coming through OPEX, but we're also working on the project, and as they get put into service, you know, the capitalized amount will also come through depreciation. So I'd say there's going to be a geography movement, you know, probably more into the next year. But so far, I think we're on track. And again, as I mentioned in other, it's about $1 million here.
Okay, thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have no more questions at this time.
Okay, I would like to thank everybody for the participation. Thank you for your thoughtful questions, and have a good day, and hope to speak to you soon. Bye-bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, the conference is now over. Thank you for choosing Chorus Call, and thank you for participating in the conference. You may now disconnect your lines. Goodbye.